This is HPR episode 2649 entitled, More Ancillary Bash Tips, 10, and is part of the series, Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 23 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Making Decisions in Bash, Part 2.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everybody, this is Dave Morris. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. So I'm doing another show today about Bash tips. This is my 10th contribution to the Bash scripting series, and we're talking here about making decisions in Bash. You can see all the other shows that relate to this one or precede this one by looking at the link section of the notes. And there are long notes to go with the brief ones, the introductory ones. Now, last episode, we looked at the tests that you need to use to make decisions in Bash. In this episode, we're going to look at some of the constructs, some of the commands and types of commands that use these tests. We're going to be looking at looping constructs, conditional constructs, and lists of commands. And I'm going to refer to the GNU Bash manual where necessary. Now, this show is the result of taking what I thought was going to be one reasonable length show, turned out to be massive, and chopping it into two. So I didn't re-record the audio, I just cut it into two, changed the preamble. So there are cases where the audio contains references to example files which it calls bash9ex2 or something like that. The names have changed because this is show number 10 in this series. I've updated the notes as necessary, but as I say, I wasn't going to edit the audio and replace the names of files and stuff like that, because I'm sure you don't need me to do that. So, let's get on with it. So I'm going to whiz through some of the looping constructs that I mentioned earlier on, just really to signal that they exist and give you a flavour of what they do. There are equivalent sections in the GNU Bash manual talking about looping construct. And there are more than the ones I'm going to look at here. I'm just going to look at two called while and until, because they contain the sort of tests we've been looking at. We'll leave for loops till another time. I'll probably use them in examples without really explaining them, so sorry about that. So let's look at the while command. Syntax of the while command is while, followed by test commands, then on the next line, do, then followed by, on a new line, commands. There can be any number of commands, one per line. And the final bit of the construct is done. The commands are executed as long as the test commands return an exit status, which is zero. So in other words, the loop continues while the result is true. That's why it's called while. I won't say any more about that. Hopefully that's pretty self-evident. And there's other references. There's other places you can go for information. There's an example coming in a minute anyway. The next one is the until command. This consists of until, followed by test commands, followed by, on the next line, do, followed by a list of commands, followed by done on the next line. These commands are executed as long as test commands returns an exit status which is non-zero. So in other words, until it becomes true. Loop until the result is true, which again is why it's called until. There's a couple of examples. First one will print a variable I, increment it while its value is less than 5. So it will output the numbers 0 through 4. So we start with setting I to 0, then the while loop consists of a test, a while followed by a test, which is open square bracket space $i space hyphen LT space 5 space close square bracket semicolon do. And in the body of the while loop, we want to echo the value of I and then follow that with in double parentheses I plus plus. Finally, the final line consists of done. Now, things to note here are that the while and the do part are on the same line, separated by a semicolon. You can do it either way, either with the two parts on separate lines or the two together separated by a semicolon. The echo will generate the numbers 0 to 4. The double parenthesized I plus plus is something we looked at in arithmetic expansion stuff back in an earlier show, which I referenced earlier. So that's a pretty simple while loop. Second example is another code snippet, which will start with setting variable I to 5 and then decrement it to 0. So here we're using an until loop after the I equals 5, and the test is in single square brackets $i space hyphen EQ space 0. So until I is 0, we're asking for. The do is on the same line with the semicolon. We echo the value of I within the loop, and we decrement it in one of these arithmetic expressions, double parentheses, and finally there's the done, which closes the loop. So the last printed value will be 1, and then it'll be decremented to 0, and then the loop will stop because the $i equals 0 test will become true. So that's the point it will stop. Otherwise, the test is false, so it keeps looping until it becomes true. These increment and decrement operators, I think I just said that they were part of the show I did earlier. They're not actually. I don't think they were, anyway. But I have referred to these before and given examples of them before. Basically, it just takes a variable and increments it or decrements it. Certainly referred to the increment and decrement operators in that context. Went through a whole list of these sorts of operators. So let's go to the conditional constructs bit. There are three commands under this heading which have a conditional component. And the commands are if, case, and select. But I don't think select is all that useful to refer to just now. So I'm just going to look at if and case. So the if command, you'll have seen these before anyway. I think I've used them many times in scripts without really explaining them. If command consists of the word if followed by a space and some test commands, which I've referred to as test commands 1. Then on the next line, then some commands which depend on that test being true. Then if you want to do another test, then you can use the word elif, E-L-I-F, which means otherwise, else if, sort of can compress together. So there's another set of tests and another then on the next line, a bunch of commands, second bunch of commands. And then these components are optional, which I haven't really signaled. If you look in the documentation, which I've referred to, the syntax is laid out in a more complex way, but which explains which bits are optional and which are not. I decided not to go to that level of detail here. And you can also have an else portion, where if the previous test or tests don't return true, then the else portion is executed. You can put the then piece on the same line following the test commands, separated by semicolon as before. Hopefully that covers if sufficiently to understand it. I think most people will have got that already. One we haven't looked at in any depth at all, if at all, is the case command. Case is also a testing type command, making choices. It consists of the word case followed by a word, which is usually a variable, followed by the word in. So case word in, then usually on the next line you have a pattern list followed by a close parenthesis, a right parenthesis, followed by a list of commands, followed by two semicolons. Then you can have pattern list two, command list two, two semicolons, and the same sort of thing. You can repeat that as many times as you wish. What it's actually doing is that the pattern list is being compared with the word. There's an example coming up shortly. And if it matches, then the appropriate command list is being executed. If it doesn't match, then usually the control will pass on to the next pattern list and it will be tested. But there are ways of changing that order. So basically, the first pattern list that matches the word will cause various things to happen. It's possible to have multiple patterns in the list, in which case they're separated by single vertical bar characters. The patterns that you use are the glob patterns that we discussed in show 2278. And the pattern list is terminated by the right parenthesis. You can, if you wish, precede the pattern list with a left parenthesis if you want. I've never seen anybody do that. Never do it myself, but you can do that if you want. This list of patterns, it would be one or several, and the associated command list is known as a clause. There's no limit to the number of case clauses. First pattern that matches determines the command list that's executed. There's no default pattern, but making asterisk the final one, a pattern that always will always match, achieves the same thing. The clause terminator, we've seen double semicolons, but there's also semicolon ampersand or double semicolon ampersand. There's a little table here which defines what they mean. Double semicolon means no subsequent matches are attempted after the first pattern match. So if you match, then do the commands, then nothing more is done. The case is exited. I forgot to say, actually, that the case command has to end with ESAC, which is case spelt backwards. Otherwise, Bash doesn't know where the end is. I also forgot to say the same with if. If ends with FI, which is if spelt backwards. See a pattern here? Anyway, going back to the clause terminators, semicolon ampersand means that after matching a pattern and executing the commands, execution is to continue with the command associated with the next clause, if any. I haven't got an example of that. I haven't really used that myself, so I've not spent any time looking at it. The double semicolon ampersand makes the shell test the pattern in the next clause, if any, and execute any associated command list on a successful match. So you should have had it executing the commands, and then testing the patterns on the next clause, and if it matched, do the next one. So you could actually make the case statement, case command test, then have success, but then go on and do another test which may or may not be successful and do more. And if you keep using this terminator throughout the case, you could make it go and do tests on a multiple level. I can't immediately think of why you'd want to do that, but it's really because I've not thought much about that. A couple of examples of if and case. So I've got example three, which is we set a variable fruit to the string apple. Let me test to see whether fruit is equal to banana. And if it does match, then we echo some message about bananas and check whether it's an apple and do the same again, and kiwi and so forth. And the idea was that for some reason or other, you don't know how to eat these fruit. So it's explaining things like don't eat the banana peel, the skin. Whereas if you eat apples, you can eat the skin. If you're eating a kiwi, you normally peel them first. Though I do know people that eat the skin. And if the fruit is not one of those at all, then, well, you're on your own, chum. This is an example, a complete standalone example, which is bash9ex2.sh, which you can play with if you wish. It's got a bit more to it. It's got a loop in it. See, if you're interested, try it out yourself. But it uses the if part to check whether it's a banana. Then it uses elif to see if it's an apple. And then another elif to see if it's a kiwi. And then if none of those match, we have an else branch, which is the not sure output. Hopefully that's self-evident how that works. Then example 4 is the same idea using a case command. So we've got fruit equals apple to start with, and then we do case fruit, dollar fruit that is, in, then we're matching the patterns banana, apple and kiwi, and then asterisks, which is anything else. And in the case of banana, we echo dollar fruit colon don't eat the skin close quote double semicolon. So if it's a banana, then it will stop at that point and exit the case statement. And the same sort of idea. Hopefully you'll see. Personally, I would have used the case for this test. Not that I've ever wanted to do this particular test, but the case one to me seems cleaner and more understandable. This again is an example that you can download and run for yourself, EX3. So lastly, sigh of relief all round, we're going to look at a slightly strange aspect of Bash, which is lists of commands. This is another sort of conditional thing, but it's not a statement as such, it's just the way in which you lay out command. So you can type Bash commands in lists. The simplest list is just a series of commands, or indeed pipelines, which we have not really looked at and need to talk about another time, each separated by a new line. So that's how you normally type stuff. You're typing it on the command line, you're hitting new line at the end, etc. Or in a script, you might type commands one after the other. But there are other list separators, such as semicolon, which lets you write several commands on the same line. The semicolon is equivalent to the new line. But there's also an ampersand, double ampersand, and a double vertical bar. So the semicolon's not, and the ampersand are not relevant to decision making, so we won't go into those anymore. This so-called AND and OR lists, containing the commands or pipelines separated by a double ampersand, which is logical AND, double vertical bar, which is logical OR. These are relevant to what we're talking about here. So an AND list has the form command 1, double ampersand, you need spaces here, and then followed that by command 2. So command 2 is executed if and only if command 1 returns an exit status of 0. I'm going to expand on this a little bit in a moment. An OR list consists of command 1, then the double vertical bar, and then command 2. Command 2 is executed if and only if command 1 returns a non-zero exit status. So here's how these lists behave. The operators double ampersand, double vertical bar, logical AND, logical OR, will short circuit. In the case of logical AND, an attempt is being made to determine the result of applying a logical AND operation between the two operands. They both need to be true before the overall result is true. So this is Boolean logic. So A and B need to be true before the result is true. If the first operand, that is command 1, is false, there's no need to compute the second result. The overall result must be false. So there's a short circuit. Command 2 is never executed. So it's a kind of an if, but without, in a more compact form, I guess you'd say. You'll see it quite often, I think. In the case of logical OR, then either or both operands of the logical OR operation can be true to give an overall result of true. So if command 1 returns true, nothing else needs to be done to determine the overall result. Whereas if command 1 is false, then command 2 must be executed to determine the overall result. So in other words, if command 1 returns false, then you do command 2. I've used these a lot in the past. I've seen people use them and thought, oh, that looks cool. What does it do? Oh, yeah. But not really understood why. And that was my attempt to explain it so that you have a little bit more insight if you get into using it. So there's some examples of using this type of thing. It's common to see these used in scripts as a simplified decision with an explicit test as command one. So for example, you might see something like open square bracket space hyphen E space and then the name of a file space close square bracket. And the hyphen E is an operator which checks to see whether the file that follows it exists or not. We're going to look at this operator in the next episode. So that test is then followed by the double vertical bar, the logical OR, and then exit space one. So if the test finishes with a non-zero result, that's command one, it means the file didn't exist. So we exit. In that particular case, we're exiting. Exit can take an argument, which is the return status to be returned by the script. So exit one. You wouldn't type this on the command line because you'd log yourself out. Exit one will make your script exit with a false result. So that's a common thing you see. Maybe you're writing a script and your script depends on a file. You'd put these sorts of tests in quite early on to say, if this file doesn't exist, well, there's no point in continuing, it's something broken. The only trouble with this is that it doesn't tell you, the user of the script, why it's just exited without doing anything. So it is possible to execute several commands instead of just the exit, and you do that by enclosing them in curly braces. So you've got a similar example with a similar test, and after the logical OR operator, the double vertical bars, we have curly brace space. You have to have spaces after these. In fact, it can be a space or a new line and other things. So after the space, we have echo unable to find, and then the name of the file, semicolon, exit one, semicolon. You do need that final semicolon because it's a list of commands here, and the closed curly bracket is taken to be a command. You can write it on multiple lines, and you can write it, instead of using the square brackets, you can use the test command. So the same thing written out again using test would be test space hyphen E space, the name of the file space, double vertical bar space, open curly bracket, then on a new line, echo unable to find, and then the name of the file. Next line, exit space one. Then on the final line, the close curly bracket, curly brace. So that's a bit more readable, I would say. So that can be a useful thing to do. So it's possible as that command one in these types of lists to use anything that returns a zero or non-zero as a result. So you could use the grep that we used earlier, grep minus q space minus e single quotes a barrow banana dollar close quote fruit.txt, and then follow that with double ampersand echo found a banana. And that's equivalent to the if example we used earlier on, but in my opinion it's a lot easier, it's a lot clearer and more understandable, let's say, if you use an if. In that case, it's more plain that you're performing a test and you're going to take this option if it is true. This one is a bit more obscure. I do use both, but I wouldn't use this form myself when I was doing something like this, if I was searching for banana, which I do often, of course. Anyway, that's the end. Bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.